Eye on the Arctic, Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. Well, Canada's Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, wrapped up a 6-day tour to the country's far north earlier this week. Now, Harper's summer trips to the Arctic have become somewhat of an annual tradition here in Canada. They're marked by announcements, photo opportunities, and speeches lauding Canada's Arctic stature and know-how. But how much substance actually comes out of these trips? How much is about Harper building Canada's Arctic brand? Now, to help us make sense of these and other questions, we've asked an Arctic expert to join us today. Now, Joelle Plouffe is a research fellow at the Inter-University Research Centre on the International Relations of Canada and Quebec at the National School of Public Administration in Montreal, and that's where we've reached him today. Joelle Plouffe, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Now, thank you so much for joining us to help us tease out a little bit about what we've seen and heard on the 6 days of Harper's trip. And let's just start off, when you look back at this 2014 version, what stood out for you?
I think what was the most interesting part of this visit this year was this trying to diversify a bit the kind of announcements the Prime Minister was trying to make. I think that would be the first thing, because there was investment for things other than military or things other than natural resource extraction or infrastructure for natural resources. We're talking about farming projects here and some kind of research also for future capability buildings in the Arctic. So I would say, announcement-wise, that would be the first thing that stood out. The second thing would be, I think Canadians are very much interested in what is going on in the Arctic and in these visits of Stephen Harper. But I think since 2007, so 7 years, you know, since this has been going on, Stephen Harper has been talking a bit just around his little circle, around his conservative party. There's no attempt to actually reach out to Northerners or reach out to Canadians to do actually nation building on what is Canada as an Arctic nation. So I think these would be the two first observations I would have on this this visit this year.
And I think I'll just pick up on one of the last things you mentioned there. You know, when I've talked in past years to people, you know, living and actually from the north, you know, about these trips, they've often said to me, and it's interesting whether it's in Nunavut or Yukon, the same sort of theme comes up. And that's that when Harper's there, they sometimes get the sense that even though Harper is there making announcements about northern things, that they feel like it's not them that's being addressed. They feel like it's, you know, people in southern Canada being addressed. I just wonder, you know, what do you think of that characterization?
Well, when you look at the northern strategy of Canada that was developed in, you know, 2008, and all of these visits of Stephen Harper are part of this, I guess, implementation of this northern strategy that looks at, you know, the northern economy and sovereignty, governance, other issues like that. Yes, these are messages that are destined for, you know, the electorate, the people who are in the south, and for industry. When you look at these research initiatives that were announced this week, you know, of course, there are Northerners that are researchers. There are many, but these big research grants are often destined to some researchers who have these, you know, very important specialization on Arctic resources and really technical things. And usually these are from big northern, southern universities. So these research grants will be, you know, mostly useful for southerners, for industry, for extracting natural resources eventually, and then, you know, shipping that away. And the money does not stay in the north either. So I think what really worries me when I see these visits is the absence of, well, one thing would be innovation and adapting the discourse to what the Arctic is today and how it's changing and its population, its young population, and trying to diversify the economy and working with the northern governments and with the towns and with locals and with students also, and really, really having the initiative to work with people in the north, not just going to the north and going back to the south. You know, these photo ops, there's so many, and when you go on the website of the Government of Canada, you've got all of these photos of Canada with his new slogan, Canada is the North and the North is Canada. You know, what does that mean for Canadians or for Northerners? You know, that's debatable, of course.
And, you know, you've mentioned the photos, and there's always several dozen of them of the Prime Minister with, you know, the Canadian Rangers, for example. And, you know, you touched on these announcements, you know, greenhouses in Northwest Territories or the research announcement in Yukon. But, you know, the military, as always, was there as well. And specifically, there were a couple of direct barbs, we could say, at Russia. And, you know, what do you make of that in the context of this trip and the Prime Minister's messaging?
Well, on the first thing, on the military in the North, and I think that Canadians, you know, really need to understand this, and also the international community. When, you know, the government of Canada is pursuing these northern exercises, they are capacity-building measures, and there are things that are needed to intervene in northern territories where you don't have all of the infrastructure in the south. You don't have all of these luxuries that we have in the south where you can just call the local police department or something and everybody comes in and the whole logistic if there's a natural catastrophe or something. This is the military's job as responders in the north, the, you know, second responders. If the local police departments or the RCMP cannot intervene, well, the military needs to come in. So they need to understand the territory. They need to understand the communities and all of this. So this is extremely important. And I think Operation Nanook has been contributing enormously to this. And the Canadian forces have been learning a lot since Op Nanook started, you know, almost 7 years ago now. So that's important. And we weren't doing these capability measures before, or capacity building, because of budget cuts and different realities. You know, climate change was not that much talked about during let's say, Paul Martin years or Jean Chrétien years. We weren't talking about this big cruise line full of thousands of people coming through the Northwest Passage in 2016. And if something happens, well, the 911 is the Canadian forces that will come in to do search and rescue there. So that's the whole military side is very complex but very interesting. And there's all of these pictures that we show about the military, but there's all big logistics behind this and a year's planification and logistics between departments and Environment Canada, public security, and other things. So this is really very interesting. And then when you look at what is going on, you know, with the rest of the Arctic region and some of the comments, you know, Stephen Harper has had vis-à-vis Russia, which is a bit disturbing from, you know, coming from my perspective, an analyst who works you know, daily with Russia on many issues, and you know, there are no security problems dealing with Canada and Russia in the Arctic region. The cooperation has always been going well, and there's no reason to even, you know, even ask the question, you know, is Putin trying to invade Canadian territory? Is trying to be expansionist and trying to take more of Canadian territory? You know, this is not the reality. These are imaginaries that are not reflecting what is going on every day, and not reflecting Russia's interest either, and not reflecting the real relationship between, you know, Russia and Canada. This is more of rhetoric. And I think where Stephen Harper is, and even John Baird to some point, not understanding the consequences of this kind of a discourse in a you know, in a longer term relationship between Canada and Russia. I think eventually something will happen and some kind of a solution will happen with Russia and Ukraine. I hope so and I think so. But then the relationships with the rest of the world, with Europe, with the U.S., and then with Canada, will have to be normalized. And you know, I just get worried that long term what this, you know, these kind of comments could have on this relationship with Canada and Russia as partners in the Arctic. You know, Canada needs Russia to do all this work through the Arctic Council and pass these environmental protection strategies and to work on climate change and to work on, you know, natural resources extraction and probable scenarios for environmental disasters. You know, the partnerships are necessary, and we recognize that in the end of the 1990s, and now today it's like if it's not important anymore. So I would be cautious. If I were the Canadian Prime Minister, I would not bring the Arctic into this equation because it's not necessary.
And, you know, if we look at, I guess maybe if we can look over sort of the last 10 years, have you seen any areas that the government or Canada is actually doing well on Arctic issues, whether it be political or business? Are there any strengths that you see that we're sort of building from year to year?
I think this brings a very interesting a point that we should make right now. What is very interesting from the Canadian, or at least the Conservative government's approach to the Arctic and the liberal approach to the Arctic is internationalism and its foreign policy in the Arctic. When the liberals were in power, we talk a lot about the circumpolar world and Canada's interest in the circumpolar world and trying to reach out and build the Arctic Council and build relationships with the rest of the neighborhood of the Arctic. And that seems to be less important today in the Canadian government. We are mostly looking at what is going on inside of our own territory, and we're very much looking at building an Arctic that will be economically interesting for the rest of Canada. And the whole foreign policy part is, like, I think, falling apart, or at least not sustained in a very well way. Where the actual government has been pretty good in the last years, I think that, business-wise, yes, there's been a lot of discussions on business, but again, we're looking at, what will go on in Canada's territory, and what, what these kind of partnerships could be good for the rest of the whole circumpolar world, if there's a better partnerships we can make with other governments in the rest of the Arctic. But again, we're still focused on our territory. But where this could become very interesting, I think, economically wise and also military wise, is the North American reality. I think this actual government has, through its initiatives, brought in more of the Americans inside the equation of the Arctic and trying to more build a North American way of doing things and a North American identity of Arctic affairs, and trying to figure out how both governments, Canada and the U.S., could better cooperate in the Arctic. I think that, these are things that take years, and I think that there's a start here, and this is the first block of something else, another contribution. But this was not the case before, and it's because of, climate change, but then melting ice and different needs in the North American Arctic. But we can see a better kind of partnership, I think, federally between both governments and even locally in the North Pacific region, in the Arctic, in the North American Arctic. The Alaskans and the Canadians are working, I think, more now than they were before and sharing more ideas. So I think that would be something important to highlight from this government.
Well, Joel Plouffe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.